This section is probably, over the years of me teaching Revelation, is probably the favorite class for most of the young people, because I think it's where they see the power of the scriptures on an kind of like in front of their eyes. So the second coming of Christ is when Jesus comes in the clouds, okay? The second coming of Christ. And the purpose, and by the way, you notice that the cover here is Living Hope for the End of Days. Revelation 6:22, why did God write that to Christians? Why do we even need that? So that we would have hope knowing what he's going to do. If we didn't know what he was going to do, we would be discouraged and hopeless. So what God has told us is, what's next for planet Earth? And so I'm going to show you, when Christ comes in the second coming, he shows us what's going on down here on Earth. What is taking place, and I call it 10 different trends. The 10 trends or signs. Some people like signs. What's going on the earth when Jesus comes? He looks down and here's the earth, and he shows us what life is like on earth as he comes down. And he does that in Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is Jesus' longest sermon on the future. Okay, so Matthew 24, and he says the same thing in Mark 13, because remember the synoptic gospels, they see the same events, and also in Luke 21. And what's interesting is what these three chapters say exactly follow this chapter we're going to go through, Revelation 6. And it's just fascinating to watch. So, what does Jesus say? Well, first of all, to understand it, you always have to check context. And what did this mean when he first told the disciples in Matthew 24? They ask him, what are going to be the signs of your coming? Look at Matthew 24. And look at the actual question they ask in Matthew chapter 24. Now, the geographic setting of this, you all probably remember when you went on the Mount of Olives. Do you remember going on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem? And when you're on the Mount of Olives, you're looking at Jerusalem and you see the Dome of the Rock and you see the old wall and you see the edge of the Temple Mount. And you're either sitting, did you guys go to Dominus Flevit where Jesus wept? Where did you go on the Mount of Olives? Dominus Flevit? Yeah. The teardrop-shaped church, and if you go out in front of it, right in front of you is the Eastern Gate, and you can see all the Temple Mount. So as you're standing there looking at that, the disciples said in Matthew 24, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to him to show him the buildings of the temple. So they're talking about how pretty it was. And Jesus said, do you not see these things? Assuredly, I say, not one stone. Did you all go down to see the pile of stones at the bottom of the right there down in the southern steps area and that huge pile of stones? Did you take your picture by it and everything? That is one of the most evident proofs of inspiration. Look what Jesus said. Not one stone will be left here. All of the buildings of the temple that will not be thrown down. Those stones are thrown down and they're actually breaking the pavement. Did you see that? How it was crushing the pavement? So that's an example of a fulfilled prophecy. So then, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, verse 3, the disciples came to him privately and they said, when will these things be? And what does verse 3 say? The sign of your coming. So Jesus, this is his coming, second coming. Jesus is giving signs to his disciples. And basically, if we check through Scripture, and comb through these. There are about 10 of them, and I'm going to try and get you through. Now, why is this important? Because the church is facing increasing persecution, and they're wondering what's going to happen. And Jesus said, hey, when I come back, it's not going to be any better. It's going to be worse. There's going to be more and more persecution, so you can have hope to know that it's part of my plan, and it's not like I'm losing out. And basically, the whole book of Revelation gives them a format to understand the future. Jesus is working with his church. He's going to take his church to heaven. When he does that, he's going to start number three, the tribulation events. Then he's going to come back, and this is what it's going to look like. We'll see that today. He's going to set up his millennial rule. People are going to rebel, and then we're going to be in heaven forever. Now, what's nice about the scriptures is God gives specific details on the end of the world, starting in verse 8. So I need a volunteer. Who would like to read Revelation 24 and verse 8? Let's see. Matthew, sorry. Lydia, thank you. You know what that's an example of? When my mind has went way past my mouth, you know. So thanks for bringing me back. Who would like to read that for us? Matthew 24 and verse 8. Good. Carol. Beginning of birth pangs. Now, Bonnie and I have experienced, well, she's experienced and I've watched, the birth of 8 of our children. And I hear men all the time say, well, that pain is like the pain of childbirth. I thought, really? You know that, you know. They talk, men have pains too, and they say they're as bad as childbirth. What are childbirth pangs, at least what were ours like? They started with these little, Bonnie would go, oh, I guess it's nothing. Then she'd go, oh, it's just nothing. Then she'd go, oh. And she says, I think we need to go to the hospital. It was this birth pangs get closer together and stronger. And for us husbands, we watch this monitor. You know, I'm standing there eating a donut, drinking coffee, watching this monitor. I says, honey, another one's coming. You know, and it was this fetal monitor that was showing the contraction as it was getting stronger and stronger. And she's going, I know, I feel it. So that's what birth pangs are. Do you know what the Bible says? That's what the second coming of Christ is going to be like. Birth pangs. In other words, what's going to happen is these different trends or signs are going to be present, and then they're going to each get stronger and stronger and stronger. That's what Jesus is saying. So basically, what Carol just read, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Now look at what verse 33 says. So you also, when you see all these things. Now, this is what I'm trying to say. When all of the signs are present, know it's near at the door. Jesus said in verse 34 of Matthew 24, assuredly I say unto you, this generation will not pass away. So the generation that sees all of the signs is going to still be alive if they survive when Jesus returns. Now, isn't that interesting? This is the heart of biblical prophecy. Let me just give you as many as we can get before it's break time, okay? The first sign is what I call the sign of global travel. In Daniel 12, it says, but you, Daniel, shut up the word, seal the book until the time of the end. So Daniel is going to tell us about what the time of the end. This is the time of the end. This is the time of the end. The end is the second coming when Jesus comes and he quells the rebellion. He starts the millennium. It's the time of the end. What's it going to look like? Many shall run to and fro. I wonder what that means. Run to and fro. Think for a minute. How has travel on earth changed since the time of the Bible? Well, 3,000 years ago, David hired wooden boats powered by wind to help bring special wood for the temple. His son Solomon actually built and operated a fleet of wooden ships that sailed by wind power and traded with Africa, Europe, and parts of Asia. John walked on foot to a port. I mean, Jonah, you guys, didn't you start out at 4 in the morning at Joppa? Right there, 2,800 years ago, almost 3,000 years ago, Jonah got on a boat powered by sails, okay, and paddles. 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul traveled all around the Roman world by foot, by horse, by chariot, or on a wooden ship pushed by wind caught in the sails. So from the ancient times, they had sailboats. Then 2,000 years ago, they had sailboats. 500 years ago, Christopher Columbus embarked on the journey across the Atlantic Ocean to find the New World. Actually, he was trying to get to China. And he probably went to a dock on foot, boarded a wooden ship, not at all unlike what David, Solomon, Jonah, and Paul went on. So from all time to 3,000 years ago to 2,000 years ago to 500 years ago, we're still traveling the same way. 200 years ago, for you Americans, just over, Benjamin Franklin walked to an American dock, boarded a wooden vessel with sails to sail to France to ask him to help us beat Britain in the war. Basically the same type of boat. Do you see how travel hasn't changed from creation to 3,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 500 years ago, 200 years ago? That's stunning to think about. That people traveled the world at the speed of horse, the speed of foot, or the speed of air pushing a sail. That's all the faster you could go. Yet the Bible talks about everyone on earth hearing about the same event at the same time. Just for a minute, think about this. In the Roman Empire, the emperor was killed in battle. The Roman emperor was killed in the second century AD, and most of the empire didn't know about it for 3 to 6 months. Their king was dead. Do you know why it took so long? News traveled at the speed of foot, horse, or wind pushing up until 200 years ago. Then things started changing. Just over 100 years ago, things began to change abruptly with the advent of steam. Man was no longer tied to manpower and wind power. With the steamship, the locomotive, the automobile, the airplane, and so on, in one generation, the whole world changed. The steamship made, they could cross the Atlantic, they could cross the Pacific, they started going fast through storms, no matter whether the wind. Did you know if you had a sailboat, you'd be out there with your sail, and if there was no wind, you just sat there, paddled. You understand how long it is to paddle across the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific with no air blowing? But the steamship, just over 100 years ago. Today, there are routine scheduled flights on airliners that make the trip from continent to continent in just a few hours. Did you know how many people are going to fly this year? That many. How many is that? What number is that on the screen? Yeah, almost 5 billion. 4.590 billion people are going to fly. What did Daniel say that's going to be the first characteristic? People are going to be traveling in a way like has never happened. When you look back, never was it like it is today. Never was there travel available for almost 5 billion people. 1 billion of those are Americans. That's because we don't fly just once, we fly a lot. 1 billion of the people in the air are going to be the about 100 Americans of 100 million that fly all the time. That's 10 flights for 100 million people, our billion flights. It's unbelievable. Okay, that's just one. What else did Daniel say? He said, well, trend number one is this global travel. Trend number two is a global explosion of knowledge. Look what it says. And knowledge is going to increase. Now, knowledge would increase. We have gone from kilobyte to megabyte to gigabyte to terabyte to petabyte to exabyte to zettabyte. And now soon to yottabytes. That's the new designation. In the last, there's a group that adds up how much the total amount of online storage between Google, Facebook, you know, all of those different things, all of people's 4K HD videos, and it comes out to in 2018, there were 4 zettabytes. That's 4 with 21 zeros after it. That's the equivalent of 304 million years of 4K HD video. That's how much, you know, everybody is just, they're taking pictures and filming everything. And right now there are 300 million years of video stored online somewhere. That's just the video. That's not everything else. That's not all the pictures and all the words. The newest chip, computer chip, is a Ryzen chip. It uses nanometer architecture. In common talk, that means the chip, the size of a quarter. Now, an American quarter is about this big. This chip has 1 billion lines of etched lines going this way in for binary, you know, byte capturing, and 1 billion lines this way. So it's 1 × 10⁹ times 10⁹. It's 1 billion × 1 billion. That's in that little space right there, the size of a quarter. And that's not even, that's just a commercial trip. That's not what the Chinese and Taiwanese and the Americans have. It's 1 quadrillion lines of information in 1 billionth of an inch wide spaces. That brings us to Google. Did you know right now, my phone is arguably a complete set of all knowledge all humans have ever learned up until now on Google. That's what they've done. They've gone through every library and scanned every book. Did you know that? They've gone around the world with their Google truck, and except for North Korea and China and a couple other places, they've gotten every library of every civilization, and they've scanned and digitalized the books and put it within Google. So you can read anything anybody's ever written, studied, thought about, or taken a picture of, or recorded. And it's all right here on Google. Amazing. From wooden boats with sails to MP3s and DVDs I can watch or create, and all of knowledge of the world in my pocket. By the way, Google actually is a word. That's how it's spelled. And it's a 1 with 100 zeros after it. At one point in history, they thought that was the biggest number anybody could ever think of. And they called it a Google. And they used the infinity sign or that, or they just called it a Google. But what Daniel said is, knowledge will increase. Do you know right now the total recorded knowledge seems to be doubling every 3 years? Do you know why? Now there's an American company that has put up 100 satellites, and those 100 satellites are taking a picture every 5 minutes of one spot on Earth. Every 5 minutes. And they're keeping it so that you can watch. You understand now, you can't go out and dig a hole in your backyard and bury some gold under your tree. Because every 5 minutes, a picture with resolution down to being able to see this jar on someone's picnic table in their backyard is being recorded of every square inch of the earth. They play it, and you can actually see people come out of their house and go to their car and get in their car, and you can follow their car and see where they went. And with artificial intelligence, you aren't going to be able to hide anywhere. anywhere. Well, maybe inside a building, but they're using thermal imaging to see heat signatures inside those buildings. Unbelievable. But that's nothing compared to this. What did God say in Luke 21? Jesus, remember, he gave the same message in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. Each one has a little different twist. This one, he said, not only are we going to have global travel and this explosion of knowledge, but we're going to have wild weather that's more than wild. Look what he says. And there will be signs. Remember, that's what we're talking about. Jesus said, these are like birth pangs. They're going to start, and we're going to go, is that one of them? And then we're going to go, oh, that was one of them. And then we're going to go, oh, they're starting. See, that's the generation that sees these will be alive when they end, when Christ comes. What's the third one? Jesus said, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars. Now, we're going to talk about that in a couple days. That's in Revelation 8. On the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. Why? The sea and the waves roaring. Now, there's always been storms, but these are going to be so bad that men's hearts failing them. Now, that is an interesting word. I want to write it down for you. The word failing is the word apsuko in Greek. What it actually means is that people's life pops out of them, that they see something coming and it scares them so much they collapse. This happens quite often. Right now in Israel, when rockets come from the Gaza Strip and come toward Israel, Israel turns on these sirens and it gives the people 7 seconds to get into their safe room. 1, 2, 3, 7. And it's going to hit. And they ring the alarm where it's going to land. They have alarms all over the country. And if you hear it, you have 7 seconds to get into your little safe house before it hits and blows up. Every time those alarms go off, elderly people die. Why? They can't get to the room in time, and it scares them to death. And they just go, ah, and they have a heart attack and collapse. Now, some of them don't die. They just go into the hospital, and they help them with their heart. But God says all over the world, people's hearts will fail them from fear at the expectation of things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. In other words, the sun, moon, stars, and the weather is going to be really different. Now, let me just show you in 2018, or this is 2017, just America, okay? In America, California flooded $10 billion. They had wildfires, $2-3 billion. They had a drought. The upper Midwest had all these tornadoes. Look at these. That year, this was a year and a half ago, Hurricane Harvey cost $200 billion. That's more than the entire economy of Indonesia, Singapore. That was just one hurricane. Destroyed that much of Houston. Then Irma added to the damage, $65 billion more. And then Maria, $102 more. So just $260, $370, $400 billion. I mean, that's half, let's see. That would be an awful lot of all of Africa's economies is one weather event season in America. Unbelievable. Now, in 18, and they don't put out these charts till every 6 months, and we were traveling, I haven't gotten December, but there was just in America one of the strongest nor'easters, one of the most amazing crippling all over the country. Now, in America, we're having now these, snow at a level they haven't had in 50 years. And it's not just here. It's Britain. It's the continent. I don't know what you're having here. But basically, all that to say, look at this. This is 2018's heat map, a killer heat wave. reached 51 degrees centigrade in Algeria. Off the coast of Africa, there were wildfires. Canada had heat waves. Canada's up by the North Pole, you know. People were dying of the heat. California was on fire. Japan had a heat wave last year, 41 degrees centigrade. That's like 105 plus degrees. Greece, there were wildfires so fast. Bonnie and I were there. We were at a conference. And people ran into the ocean trying to survive. The fire came that fast. And people, the only ones that survived in Athens were the ones that made it into the water. It blew up their gas tanks, and you know, their propane tanks. This is just 2018. You know what they're saying? Well, this is what they're saying. Fire, fire everywhere. The global wildfire was disastrous. A warming planet has exacerbated a dire global fire threat brought on by growing cities, poor urban planning, and combustible landscapes. Look what this guy said. The 2018 wildfire season has been dramatic, prompting headlines about the world being on fire, but it's unusual. So many places are experiencing fires at the same time. Large blazes hit Indonesia, Canada, Spain, Chile, Portugal, Russia. Fire used to be seen as local, but we should see them as part of a global phenomenon. Did you know people are actually afraid? There are fires right now up by Seoul. Have they put them out yet? Anybody know? Anybody watch the news? You guys don't watch the news. There were big wildfires all over the news last week here in Korea. Amazing. Okay, here's another one. How do we even know that there are fires in all those places? Global telecommunications and television is predicted in the Bible. Look what it says in Revelation 11. Then those from these peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations. What is peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations? That's code for everybody. If you're not from a people, tongue, tribe, or nation, you're not a human. All humans. You understand what it's saying is people from all over the world, from every tongue, every tribe, every nation, will see in Revelation 11, they're going to see dead bodies of the two witnesses. See. Wait a minute. In the Bible time, news traveled at the speed of feet, horses, and wind. Those from peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations for 3.5 days. And now, if you're not convinced how big it is, verse 10. And those who dwell on the earth. Wait a minute. Are there humans that don't dwell on the earth? Yeah, a few in the space station. You know, if we colonize Mars, and maybe there's some in an airplane at any given moment. What it's saying is humanity is going to collectively see the same thing going on for 3.5 days. And what they're going to do is strange. They're rejoicing that they died. Look, it says they rejoice over them. They make merry and they send gifts to each other. Amazon. How did you send gifts? If you were in Rome, could you send a gift to someone in Scotland? If you were in Rome, could you send a gift to someone in Korea? No, you couldn't. Can you now? Yes, you can. The Bible says there's going to be telecommunication and television, which is going to cause global events. That it's, we already know that. The Super Bowl, the World Cup, the Olympics are global events. Everybody's watching them at the same time. Wow. Look at this. I just clipped this off. This was, well, you can't see it because it's grayed out, but that's all the continents of the world. Do you know what those purple dots are? Facebook Live. That's how many people at 4:30 yesterday were Facebooking live, where you can broadcast from your phone and the whole world can watch. Do you understand what's going to be during the tribulation? It's going to be that people are going to be posting and saying, wow, look at that meteorite. And people are going to be watching that and they're going to be fainting and dying because the whole world is interconnected in our amazing society which we live. So there's going to be global events, global communication. The people are going to see it at the same time. Here's the next one. Global evangelism. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 24. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness. By the way, did anybody know how big the world was in Matthew 24 other than God? No. Have you ever seen any maps from the first century? I mean, they had no idea. They thought the earth was flat. They thought you got to the end and you fell off and there was a dragon down there and it would bite you. And they had no idea how big Africa was. You should see the picture, the maps. It was like Europe and China were gigantic and everything else was just, you know, nothing. They had no concept of the world. But Jesus said the gospel is going to be in all the world as a witness. Mark 13:10, the parallel. The gospel must first be preached to all nations. Look, this is just the IMB, the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist denomination. This is fascinating because Bonnie and I are a part of this. All the red dots are unreached people groups. They know now exactly how many different language groups there are, how many different ethnic groups there are. They know whether or not there's anybody that is born again that lives within that group. You can digitalize what they say, and you can form an alphabet, and you can teach it to them, and within 3 years, you can get a scripture into a language that's never even had writing. We're living in unbelievable times in the history of the world. But that's not all. This is the gospel goes global. The next one is verse 7. Look what it says in Matthew 24:7. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines. What's that next word? Pestilences. And earthquakes all over the place. The various places means kind of like all over. Now, let me show you a pestilence. That's Yersinia pestis. That is a deadly infection that no drug can stop. You know, where Bonnie and I used to live, we lived in Michigan, where they made cars. There's a famous medical center there. And while we were living in Michigan last year, a man came into the hospital with a scratch. He scratched his leg somewhere, and it started getting awful, so his wife made him go to the hospital. You know, most men don't like going to the doctor. And when he got there, it was really getting kind of ugly looking. And they started cutting his leg off because it was so bad they couldn't stop it. And finally, he died within a week. And all it was a scratch and an infection. The problem is, it was outdoors. It was water that was warm during the summer. He had splashed, and the water got on his cut, and a form of infection that is resistant to every family of medicine that we've so far designed. And any bug that isn't stopped, if it starts getting into you, they multiply so fast. Germs multiply faster than fish, faster than birds, faster than even weeds. Germs multiply into the billions, and it overwhelmed his heart. The pathogens overwhelmed, and his body couldn't take it, and he died of what's called septic shock in one of the finest hospitals in America, with them pumping and shotting and giving him pills of every known antibiotic we have. Wow. Look at this. I don't know if you know, but 100 years ago, we just had the anniversary last year of the Spanish flu. Any of you heard of the Spanish flu? The Spanish flu, influenza. Flu is a shortened form of influenza. In 1918, somewhere between 20 and 50 million from 1917 to 1918, died of the flu. Did you know that's when World War I was going on? More people died of the flu than died in World War I. Almost as many people died of the flu as died in World War II. It was so bad, in America, in Los Angeles, in the city of Los Angeles, the city put up a fence like this around part of LA and put soldiers with guns, and they put tall fencing up, and they would let no one out of that because everyone inside was dying. They were dying like flies. They just drop over dead. And so they put up a perimeter around LA. They put soldiers and barbed wire, and they wouldn't let anybody in or out. And all the people inside that fence, until the flu was over, they were stuck. And about half of all the people that got this flu died. It's a very dangerous flu. So you know what they did? They went and dug up the bodies. It was all over the world, and there was an American military base in Alaska up there by the North Pole where they buried the people as soon as they died in the ground, and it's been so frozen so long that most of them were kind of like little mummies in there. They were still kind of in good shape. So they dug them up and took out their tissue and found out. And this guy, he said, Ebola, Zika, SARS, a century after Spanish flu killed 50 million people, humanity now risks a new wave of deadly diseases. Even in today's globalized world, another pandemic may be unavoidable. Pandemics are becoming a real threat to humanity. Why? Because 5 billion people are flying airplanes. You can have the Spanish flu, get on an airplane, go home, spread it to everybody in your city, and nobody even knows because it takes 5 days for it to show signs. There's coming a time, the Bible says, when pestilence is going to, this global pestilence, global. It used to be when nobody traveled except by foot and horse and wind that you'd get sick, but it stayed there. Now, it can go to every country of the world within one day because we have so many people flying all the time. Global epidemics. Here's one that's fascinating. The sign of digital money, global tracking and positioning. You know it says in Revelation, he causes all small and rich, poor and free, slave to receive a mark on their right hand or forehead. And no one can buy or sell except the one who has the mark. Do you know what everyone's doing now? They're worried about how do you put the mark. That's what everyone talks about. Is it like a barcode? Is it a chip? They spend so much time worrying about what the mark is, they miss this. What it says is you can't buy or sell. What do we call buying and selling nowadays? It's money. Most of you don't carry around anchovies and trade them for wheat. I mean, do you know anybody that does that? Bartering? You know, I'll trade a little of my wool from my sheep if you'll give me some arrowheads from your backyard. You know, bartering. What do we do now? We have money. Money is you distill down your time and you're given a piece of paper that says it's worth this much and you trade the paper for a cup of coffee at, you know, Starbucks or something. What we don't realize is the Lord said you can't buy or sell without a number. They receive a number. See, this number, see the number of his name. Now, think about this. This is called digitalized money. Digitalized money. Money that's been made into numbers. Right now, if you have an account like PayPal, or you have a credit card or whatever, nobody takes a big bag of money when you pay for something, and they take the big bag of money and they carry it from your bank to McDonald's, and then McDonald's carries it back. They just punch in numbers. What they do is they take a credit card and go like that. What it says is, the Bible says that money is going to become digitalized. It's going to become portable. It's going to become able to travel around the world quickly. We're already there. We're there. Right now, if you demand out of your bank your money in currency, they can't give it to you. There's so much more money, digits, than there are dollar bills. Just dollar bills. I mean, in America, the total value of all of our currency, I mean, of all of our wealth in America, I don't know, it's like something like $29 trillion. That's not the value of all the land and cars and everything. That's just all the assets like stocks and bonds. $29 trillion. Do you know how many dollar bills there are in the whole world? There's about maybe 1.25 trillion. That means there's 29 times more money than there is paper to go with it. Nobody uses paper or gold or anything. It's digitalized money, and it's so common. I mean, you just look for the sign, you know, PayPal, Venmo, Square Cash, WeChat, you know, in China. You can't even use money in China. You can't buy subway tickets with money. You have to use WeChat, and you have to be within the system. Here's another one. So this global money. Here's another one. Global WMDs. Okay. For there will be a great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, nobody would survive. That's what weapons of mass destruction mean. Weapons of global destruction. Think about the Bible times. People really had trouble reading this and believing it. Why? Because everybody knew that if the army came and they start attacking here and they're taking their arrows and they're shooting people and they're spearing them, what do all of you guys do? Do you stand there and wait for them to come get you? What do? You run, right? That's how it always was. Nobody ever really conquered everybody anywhere. They all ran away. They'd get in a boat, they'd hide. But now, starting in the late 40s, weapons started being devised that you couldn't escape. You know what some of the worst ones are? I mean, you all have heard of thermonuclear, atomic, and hydrogen bombs and everything. The Israelis invented the neutron bomb. That one's really neat. It only kills tissue. If you dropped a neutron bomb here at Word of Life, you and me and all the plants would die, and the buildings would be untouched. Everything would be fine. This cup would be right here. Lydia would be melted. Bella would melt. Her tissue would... But the buildings and the glass, everything would be fine. It's a new weapon for if you don't want to ruin everything. And you don't want to put radioactive fallout into the air. You just hit them with a neutron bomb, and it melts them. Isn't it interesting that Zechariah 12 to 14 describes, it says that when the battle happens in Jerusalem, that people's eyes melt out of their faces and their skin melts off their bodies? It actually says that in Zechariah. That's the most amazing description of neutron bombs that don't even do all that. That made a mess, as you know. Hey, it's time for our break. So the last one I'll cover is global peace, prosperity, materialism. Everyone's going to want peace and safety. The whole world wants economic freedom. There's going to be a global... So there's this global peace movement. And then there's going to be this hatred of the Jews. And boy, is it present. Look at what the headlines is. Iran says we're going to await orders to destroy Israel. And you know what? God says the way you know the future is what I said is going to happen. Okay, it's time for your break. Understanding the Bible, we'll come back and understand it more, but have a good break.